Good morning and welcome to Nachiyomi. Today we are starting Yirmiyo, and so let's do it. This is Perek Aleph of Yirmiyo. This serves as the Haftorah for the first parsha in the 3 weeks, whichever it is, whether it's Pinchas or Matos. And this is the Haftorah. It sets the tone for who Yirmiyo is. The general overview is it is appointing Yirmiyo as a Navi. So let's do a quick summary, and then let's think about a few points to ponder. So the first three psukim are really a sort of setting aside, it's an introduction to who he is. We're told these are the words of Yirmiyahu, the son of Chilkiyahu, who comes from the Kohanim of Anasos in the land of Binyamin. And he spoke to three kings, Yoshiyahu ben Amon, the king of Yehuda, in the first 13 years of his rule, and Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu, and Tzidkiyahu, the son of Yoshiyahu. So these are the people he's going to be speaking to. Of course, there are two minor kings in between, but each of them only lived for or ruled for 3 months. We move on to the next section, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says a very powerful thing to Yirmiyahu. He tells Yirmiyahu, before you were created in the womb, I knew who you were. Before you left the womb, I sanctified you. I've made you a prophet. And Yirmiyahu says, I can't. I'm just a nar. I'm a young man. I'm not inexperienced. I'm not equipped for this job. And Hashem says, don't say that. And so to speak, Hashem metaphorically touches him on his mouth and gives him a nevuah and tells him, you know, gird your loins. You're going to be, I'm going to give you the opportunity, lintosh v'lintotz, l'havidu l'haros, livnois v'lintoya. I'm going to give you the role to destroy and uproot at the same time to build and to plant. So Yirmiyahu is refreshing, is creating this new image of the future. And the end of the parak now describes the two first prophecies that he gets. The first one is Hashem says, what do you see, Yirmiyahu? And Yirmiyahu says, well, I see a makel shaked. I see an almond branch which is flowering. And Hashem says, good job, you saw it. Hitavtali rois, ki shaked ani al devari lahasosai. I am waiting or anticipating my word to do it. Prophecy number one. Prophecy number two that he gives them. He says, Yirmiyahu, what do you see now? Yirmiyahu says, well, I see sir nafuach, uponov, Mipnei Tzafona. I see a boiling pot, and its face, or the open part, seems to be facing the Tzafon, the north. Hashem says, you're 100% correct, because Mitzafon Tepotach Hara'ah, from the north is where evil will develop, and I'm going to bring it and destroy this area. And they're going to bring V'nosnu Ish Kisoi Pesach Shari Yerushalayim Al-Kochom Esel Saviv Al-Kohar Yehuda. There's going to be a tremendous siege, and I'm going to judge them because they left me. And what's your role in this, Yirmiyahu? Your role is going to be to go and tell them what's about to happen. And I know that people are not going to like you. So I'm going to make you an Irmir Tzar. I'm going to make you impervious to their insults and their attacks. And although v'nilchamu alecho, they're going to fight against you, v'lo yuchuloch, they're not going to be able to get you. Ki itcha oni ani nu'um Hashem latzilecho, I'm going to save you. What a terrifying and terrible job, but this is what Yirmiyahu gets. Let's think about some of these ideas very briefly. That's the summary of the parak. Let's come back to this. First of all, where is Anasos? So in the biblical maps, this is really in the area of Binyamin, which is just a little north of Yerushalayim, fascinatingly enough. There is a yeshuv called Anatot. There's a sort of area, Shchuna, just north of Be'er Sheva today, which is called Anatot. Not clearly not the same biblical area. That's in the land of Yehuda. Of Anatot. But the thing that we should learn about this is a few interesting facts. First of all, we see from here, the Malbim points out, that who is his father? Chilkiyahu. That name should ring a bell. Chilkiyahu was the Kohen Gadol, he was the high priest, who said at the times of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, and he in fact was the one who discovered the Sefer Torah and gave it to Yoshiyahu. Which means to say that the son of Chilkiyahu is the one who's going to be the prophet to Yoshiyahu and his sons thereafterwards. So this gives us a bit of a context. It also tells us that he was an out-of-towner. That's important, says the Malbim, because when you're an out-of-towner, you don't have to pay as much deference to the people you think you need to honor when you come into town. You don't have all those old relationships which need to be tiptoed around, which gives him this power. Of course, he is the son of the Kohen Gadol, very, very powerful person as we start off. A few other things just to notice over here. Rashi points out that his lineage actually goes all the way back to Rachav Hazona. Rachav was, of course, a woman of ill repute at the beginning of Tanakh, but she married actually Yeshua, none other than Yeshua. So one of her great-great-great-grandchildren was Yirmiyahu, and Rashi points out the irony that a person of somewhat perhaps a more complex background is the person who is rebuking those who seem to have perfect backgrounds, but whose actions are imperfect. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, it doesn't make a difference where you come from, it matters what you're doing. That's what Rashi points out in this section. One or two other points just to think about very briefly while we go through this parak is, it sounds a little predetermined, doesn't it? Meaning Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, you know, I have made you. I have etzarcha, b'terem etzarcha, babetan yadaticha. I know who you were before you were created. Does that, I mean, doesn't he have free will? Doesn't he have to take the responsibility and the mantle of Nevuah through his own actions? So the Radak quoting his father says a few an interesting option. He says, you know, when you look, when a creator, let's say a artist looks at a lump of clay, the artist is able to see, the craftsman is able to see what it's going to be. You know, when Michelangelo carved the statue of David, the famous statue of David, he said that he wasn't so much, you know, chipping away at the stone, he was uncovering the image in his mind. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you were a matter, you were biological matter, I saw in that matter the potential you had. Not that I made you that way, but I saw what you could do. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, which is a very powerful idea. However, the Radak goes one step further and he says, no, you know what it might mean? What does it mean but that before you were born, I made you holy? That means to say that the behavior of his parents, Chilkiyahu and his mother, was so kadosh in their actions and in their thoughts, even at the moment of conception of Yirmiyahu, it was a moment of great Kedusha, which means he was endowed with Kedusha from the very, very moment that he was born. There was such a purity in the soul as it came down to this world. And we know that Kabbalistically this makes a difference at the moment of conception, how much a difference it makes to the person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm telling you, Yirmiyahu, you are 100% pure. You have the capacity to do this. What's this whole business with touching Yirmiyahu in his mouth? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it. It sounds a little bit like what happened with Yeshayahu when he went up to heaven in Perek Vav of Yeshayahu. So one thing I just noticed that I think is fascinating is there were two Nevi'im who were told to do a mission and both rejected it. One is Moshe Rabbeinu and one is Yirmiyahu over here. Yirmiyahu says, I can't, I'm a Nar. And in both cases, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them divine assistance with their mode of communication. Moshe with his Aral Sava Simon over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, patting him on the mouth to give him the wherewithal to be able to give his nevuah. I think there seems to be clearly a connection to the Moshe Rabbeinu-esque model over here. Let's come down to those two prophecies briefly. The prophecy of the Makel Shaked, of this almond branch. What is the whole point of this almond branch? So we know the almond tree is one of the trees which flowers first in the season. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm Shaked, you know, Hashkedi HaPorachat, Lahavdil, which is the song. Is about the early flourishing almond tree, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying over here that I'm going to bring my destruction about very quickly. In fact, Rashi points out that the germination cycle of the almond tree is 21 days, and there are going to be 21 days in the year, which are called the 3 weeks, where there's going to be times of destructions that are going to unfold in the future, and that's what he's referring to now. The next section over here, which refers to the second prophecy, is this boiling pot. But what is the point of the boiling pot? So the Malbim says it is a mashal to Yerushalayim. A pot is supposed to protect and develop and cultivate what is inside of it. But the pot can't work when it's broken or it's open, because then all the steam goes out and the food shrivels up and is not able to be protected and developed. So he says Yerushalayim is not able to function because it is open. Yerushalayim is open to its enemies from inside and from without. Where is it open? It's open in the direction of the north. Well, technically speaking, if you take a look at the actual maps, it is not exactly the north that Babylon is in. Babylon is the area of sort of the Iraq area, which is really northeast. So it could be the Tanakh is being general over here. But what some academics point out is that it is actually impossible to have an attack of the land of Israel in those days, certainly, from the east. Simple reason is it's a desert. Jordan to the east is a desert. So countries do not march their armies through deserts. They will always march through the Fertile Crescent coming from the north. So academically speaking, geographically, that's why it is that armies will always enter from the north. It is fascinating that still, even today, we are still witnessing that the greatest existential threat to Israel today is not necessarily Gaza, is not necessarily any of the countries around it, but the machinations of Iran, which of course is in the north, a continuation of this exact theme of prophecy that Yirmiyahu was talking about then. To merge with the more Kabbalistic interpretation, the work of the Arvei Nachal on Vezos HaBrocha suggests that what is referring to over here is not Safon necessarily as a direction, but Safun. That means to say that Kabbalistically, spiritually, there is a place which is hidden, and from that place emanates both suffering and also the crucible necessary for the journey of a person to purify themselves, or the nation to purify themselves. And that's what he's saying, is that there's this hidden place which is going to project from it destruction, but that destruction is the necessary
heart to build and to grow Livnois Velintoa, which is what the prophecy of Yirmiyahu is. This concludes Perek Aleph, and we look forward to continuing tomorrow. In the meantime, have a meaningful and wonderful day.